Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome all here this morning. I want to take a couple minutes of your time, and I'm going to attempt to dive into a subject that resonates around the world. It can be taken very simply, or it can be very complex. I'm going to take the complexity part of it this morning, and because of that, it's going to be maybe much more of a personal testimony than a sermon. I couldn't really find another way to go about it. I'm going to use a few historical accounts. I'll say for illustrative purposes, but more than once in my life, I find myself hooking the two together. So I know for some of you, may not find that appropriate, but anyway. And the biggie here is people who know me well know I can think stuff a lot better than I can say it. So it's maybe not say it the way I want to think it, so just bear with me. Some early years, I grew up in a conservative Mennonite church, and I heard messages like, fear God and keep His commandments. You know, work out salvation with fear and trembling. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. God is a jealous God. And I'm not taking anything away from that. But either I took it out of context at times, or it was meant to be taken out of context. But it changed, or it gave me an image of God that I don't think was totally accurate. One of my school assignments was memorizing the Declaration of Independence. It was all forgotten except one part. And I'm going to read it because I want to get it exactly word for word. And I think most of you know where I'm going with this. All men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'm going to insert freedom for liberty, just for sake this morning. They tie together, but there are some tangible differences if you really want to go in and work them out. The question I asked this morning, is it an American dream or is it a biblical promise? There's two different ideas of freedom that we deal with. Very, very different, but get tied together very easily. And I'm not talking about the freedom we receive when we get salvation. I mean, I experienced that, we all experienced that when we accepted Jesus. There's much more to this than I want to get into. Free will, having choices, lack of restraint, and doing whatever we want to is a freedom. Do we all agree? Several years back, I was down at Washington, D.C. We went through some of the museums that I hadn't seen in years, and one of the ones I hadn't seen was the Vietnam Memorial. Now, I know a lot of you have seen it, but for you that haven't, from a distance, it looks like nothing more than a granite wall. As you get closer, the sheer volume of the thing becomes evident. Nearly 500 feet long, starts 8 inches, goes to 10 feet high in the center. As I walked into that, I noticed names engraved. And I read down through. Didn't know the person. Had no idea who they were. But I got thinking about it. I said, did he have a wife? Did he have a family? Did he have a husband? Most likely they had parents. They were young guys, young women. Grandfather, grandmother. And as I sat there and I pondered that, pondered freedom, pondered the sacrifice these people gave, and I come to a conclusion. Is freedom really free? I found myself drawing a parallel to that and how I view freedom in my Christian life. I'm going to start at Genesis. For some reason, I find myself going back there pretty often in some of these things, because to me, if I don't get Genesis right, there's some other things I miss. Genesis 1:26. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, because, you know, it's so familiar. But Genesis 1:26 says, I'll start here, 26. Then God said, "Let us make human being in our image and likeness, and then and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over the tame animals, over all the earth, and over all the small crawling animals on the earth." So God created human beings in His image. In the image of God, He created them. He created them male and female. God blessed them and said, "Have many children and grow in number. Fill the earth and be its master. Rule over the fish of the sea, or the birds of the sky, or every living thing that moves on the earth." God said, "Look, I've given you plants that you can have grain for seed, and trees of fruit for seed. They will be food for you. I've given you all the green plants as food for every wild animal, every bird of the air, and every small crawling thing." And it happened. I'm going to jump down and read 2, 9, and 15, and 16 at the same time here. Lord caused a beautiful tree. The Lord God caused every beautiful tree and every tree that was good for food to grow out of the garden. In the middle of the garden, God put a tree that gave life, and also the tree that gave knowledge of good and evil. Jumping down to 15 and 16. If I got my references right here. The Lord put the man in the garden and said, "Care for and work, and the Lord also commanded him, you may eat of every meat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree from which gives knowledge of good and evil. If you ever eat from that tree, you will die." So, God put Adam and Eve in the garden. God sent them out and said, "I'll give you dominion over everything. Fish, birds, animals, trees, plants, planet, harvest it, eat it, whatever you want to. I give you freedom to till my garden, to take care of it. But you can't eat of that one tree." Now, the first question I came to when I used to read this thing is, okay, Adam and Eve were free. God said, "Here you are, you're free, you can go as you want to, but you can't eat of that one tree." Now, is that freedom? Were Adam and Eve free? God gave Adam even another thing in that garden over that time. He gave him free will. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 11, 26 and 28, just to follow up on that. It says, "Today I'm letting you choose a blessing or a curse. You will be blessed if you obey my commandments of the Lord your God I'm giving you today, or you'll be cursed if you disobey them." Basically, that's what it says. I'm a half-empty cup kind of guy. People know me well. I mean, it's just the fact of the matter is, I mean, if I always say if it goes wrong to me. But I thought about that. Do you think God loves you? And you ever question why God put you here? Just think about that for a second. That you got a free will. And if you think God didn't love mankind by doing that, just take some night and just ponder that through a little bit. That's incredible. I'm going to jump up and read first part of Genesis 3 here, first couple of verses. "Now the snake was the most clever of all wild animals the Lord God had made. One day the snake said to the woman, Did God really say that you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" The woman answered and said, "We eat from every tree in the garden God told us, but you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not even touch it, you would die." But the snake said to the woman, "You will not die. God knows that if you eat from that tree, You will learn good from evil, and you will be like God. Some translation has it as God. We know what happened. They got separated from God. God drove them out of the garden. It raises the next question. When were Adam and Eve most free? In the garden, when they could do what they wanted except eat from one tree, or after they got out of the garden, they could go wherever they wanted and eat whatever they wanted? The devil raised an astonishing question here. There's a lot into that. He answered Eve. He told Eve, "You're free. God gave you free will. God gave you freedom to do whatever you want to." To make decisions, to make choices. But he failed on a major part. He didn't share the cost. It's separated from God. We need Jesus to bring us back, and I understand all that, and that's not what I really want to go here this morning. Society today, the message they portray to us is like, you know, self-exertion, you know, rights, finding yourself, you know, you got to throw off the restraints. You know, one of the highest virtues a culture tells us today is, you know, we got to be true to ourselves. And if you're an old guy like me, it's like, don't fence us in. Secular culture will take Christianity and view it as a type of bondage. You know, it binds you up. You are no longer free to be who you are. But true freedom doesn't come in better, lack of better terms, I say lack of constraint, because I don't know how I'm allowed to say this, but the strange truth about it, you know, we got to give up what secular culture defines it and move in a different direction. And, you know, it's going to require for us to make a somewhat of a distinction between true freedom and free will. You know, it's not that free will is a bad thing, you know, and because, you know, we have independence and we have freedom in this country and we hope we have good government, you know, all that's good, but it's really not true freedom. I'm going to give you an example here. A train going down a track. Is free to do what it's called to do, to haul its load of whatever it's hauling. If the train jumps the tracks, it is no longer stuck on the track. It is free of the track, but its real calling, you know, it's a freed wreck, if you can use that analogy. What's it mean to me? I went back to the first verse there where God said, God created humans in his image. And because he loved humans that much, he gave me the right to choose. I can choose to strive to fulfill that, my image more like God, or I can choose to go the other direction. You know, the world says, it's bondage, man. You know, I'm free to do whatever I want, however I want it, no matter what. Sometimes you get the feeling, I don't know how to say this, or sometimes we make it like it's a journey. I'm not denying the fact Christianity is a journey. You know, we get from one to the point. But sometimes we betray it like it's, lack of better terms, it's all uphill. I mean, some of you are going to lose me on this in a second. I mean, I understand that. When I try to conform my image, or my God-given image, with the image God called each of you into, I place myself into a bondage. Because God-given image of what God calls you to be for everybody is different. Martin Luther put it in a nutshell, and this is a direct quote, and I will quote this: A Christian man is the most free lord of all and subject to none. A Christian man is the most dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone. Run that by your English teacher someday. I find true freedoms in obedience. You say, well, that's simple enough. But not some type of imposed kind of obedience. You know, it's not about obeying God because, you know, I fear the consequences like I shared about earlier. Yeah, you know, we don't want to die, like I said, but that's not the point. It should be a voluntary... It should be voluntary, it should be a joyful thing stemming from gratitude. The minute it becomes a drudgery, is it still freedom? Matthew 20:26-27 says, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave." True freedom is a lot more than free will. You know, free will gives me the freedom to make choices. The problem with choices, the problem with that, I don't always make the right choice. I make bad choices sometimes. And because I don't always make the right choices, I hurt others, I hurt myself. You know, sometimes I get a tendency to blame God some days for things that went wrong. But when I think about it, the other alternative was God creating us out of free choice. Is it really God's fault? No. God loved mankind so much He gave us that free choice. And I know I stressed that before. He gave us the freedom to make decisions. Unfortunately, pain sometimes is a necessary byproduct of that choice. 1 Peter 2:16 says, "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Live as servants of God." I'm going to flip a little bit to forgiveness here this morning, because there's another thing that I find played into this for me. Does my freedom give me the right to hold a grudge, to point a finger? You remember the pain? I can go there. You say, well, you know, I have every right to do that. But is that really freedom? You know, free will gives me the choice to forgive that. True freedom comes from the outcome of it. God's free will gave us the capacity to choose a true freedom offered by God's grace. God's grace, or else rejecting it through our own self-centeredness. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. What gives you happiness? It's not money. I ran that survey, believe it or not. It's not IQ. It's not what college you go to. None of them even worked in the survey. You say, well, happiness is an emotion. It can be. I mean, you know, I shoot a big buck, I'm happy. but it soon wears off. I could spend the next hour here this morning going through Bible verses to talk about happiness. Talk about things that make us happy. But I also find some days I'm not a very happy Christian. I force myself into the bondage of looking at myself, and I'm not really that happy. Webster defines it as a state of well-being or a contentment or a joy. Psalms 19:8 says, the words of the Lord are right. They make people happy. Hebrews 12:22. I think I'll turn to that. I mean, it probably says it best if I It says, look unto only Jesus, the one who began our faith and who makes it perfect. He suffered death on the cross, but accepted the shame as it were nothing because of the joy that God put before him. And now he's sitting on the right hand of God's throne. Crucifixion to Jesus was not joy, but being in the Father's will was. So, where does that move us? Towards the image God created us. A few personal things in my life that has impacted me. And I'm going to go back to Galatians 3:28 says, in Christ there is no difference between Jew, Greek, slave, free person, male and female. You're all the same in Christ Jesus. Our Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal. Equality. The status of being equal. You say, well, big deal. We're all created equal, and we are. I'm not going to dispute that a bit. What did God tell Eve in the garden? You will be like God. You want something to do on a cold winter Sunday, Sunday afternoon or something? Dig into that. Look where society is today on this thing. There's a... The thing ties together. It is impossible for us to be like God, per se. We can be like the image God created us to be. When we move ourselves equal to God, or attempt to move ourselves equal to God, forget about the freedom that Jesus wants us to have. One thing it did for me is how I view people. And it's an ongoing process, but I attempt to try to view people the way God does. And I mean, it's not always easy. I mean, you get them days and you get them people, but you know what? I attempt to do it. It also made me understand, you know what? Some days I have to give up my space a little bit for the better of the kingdom. Because I realize everybody's image of God comes out a little bit different. Another thing I had to challenge me is my Christian heritage does not put me on a pedestal. Some days we think because we were born in Christian homes and because we were Mennonites that we for some reason or other have the upper hand. I had to learn to allow people to be who they are in Christ. Another thing I learned, or attempting to learn, is equality is not fairness. We are created equal in God's sight. But equality does not mean life's fair. Humans are created equal. Situations are not. Another thing I look at a little bit is I would look at the big picture too many times. And you know, sometimes you look at the big picture, it's kind of overwhelming. You say, well, you know, it's way too big for me to do anything. But what I started to realize, it's not, yes, the big picture is important, but for me, it's a little part that I can do something about. Maybe it's that one person, but it's that one person. I'm not going to go into this one this morning, but I could spend times on finances and how it impacted me and what, you know, I view on it. There is just one account, and you can go home and read it. It's a Matthew 26 account where it's Martha and Jesus and the oil and the disciples, and they got all upset about the oil being used on Jesus' feet, how it was a waste of money, and believe me, I could have sided with the disciples pretty quick on this, and I could have rode behind this stewardship thing of being a good steward. And I realized there's a lot more to it than that. This is a biggie for me. Relationships. Satan separated Adam even from God, separated that relationship. Jesus brought us all back again. God created us for relationship with Him, but He also created us for relationship with people. I think I told my wife this morning once already, my best day is when they, I don't have to deal with anybody. But the fact of the matter is, that's not true. When I just say my best day is the day I don't have to deal with anybody, I all of a sudden put myself in bondage. I'm no longer free to. I no longer work towards that image God called me to be. So, it was in a nutshell this morning. And it's very complex. And how you view it and how it impacts your life, it's probably different in how it impacted my life. But God called us to be free. God called us to be free in Him. The world calls us to be free, but in a total different mentality. And because I live in the world, I struggle with both of them. Urban shared about the eagle in the comfort zone. I always say, boy, that comfort zone is great. But you know what? When I stick in that comfort zone, I put myself in bondage, in the shape of bondage. Freedom gets us out. Freedom doesn't mean we don't make wrong choices. But we have the grace of God to get us through. I'm going to wrap up. Galatians 5:1 says, we have freedom now because Christ made us free. So stand strong, do not change, and get back into slavery.